Let's open up God's word and listen to what happened that day. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your kingdom comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, we saw the road signs from the road signs earlier, that pictures can have meanings that go beyond what you see. That's the purpose of road signs. They tell us something, they remind us of something, they warn us of things. And there was a great tradition amongst the prophets of Israel to use actions as visual messages. They were always being told to use actions to communicate things to the people of God. And when the words didn't work, they would put their message in some kind of picture or an action so that no one could fail to see. So an example would be in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 30 to 31. The prophet Ahijah wanted to explain to Jeroboam that God was going to give Jeroboam 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. So he took his new cloak and he tore it into 12 pieces, and then he gave Jeroboam 10 of those pieces. It was a visual picture of what God was going to do. The Lord speaks through visions, through pictures to help us, because many of us are visual people. We need that. Now, when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, he was using the same principle. His entry on a colt, this image, without the red triangle, we think that probably wasn't what he used. That entry on a colt was a picture that all of Jerusalem would have found deep, deep meaning in. Firstly, his action was a claim to be king, to be the king. Around 500 years earlier, the prophet Zechariah had prophesied that Israel would overcome her enemies. And in the middle of that prophecy comes this verse, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And people would have watched Jesus and gone, "Ah, that refers to Zechariah." It's a mention from Scripture. Jesus' followers had spent 3 years hearing him teach this kind of thing, seeing him perform miracles and telling them to keep quiet about the fact that he was the Messiah, the chosen one, the one chosen to set Israel free. And here at last, Jesus is going public. He's going live. It's amazing, isn't it, when someone has a plan to do something and then they announce a press conference on a Friday afternoon to announce, "I've got a great plan. This is my plan. The whole world needs to know about it." Alibi. That's inconsequential. in Scotland. That's inconsequential, what is happening in Scotland right now, to what Jesus was doing on that Palm Sunday. He was announcing who he was. Who is he? Said the people of Jerusalem, and the crowds declared who he was. Here at last, Jesus went public. No wonder they celebrated. The king is coming, righteous and having salvation. They celebrated. Today is a day of celebration for us. We're able to see one another in person for the first time in 3 months. And we celebrate. But more than that, we celebrate because we focus on the person of Jesus. For the crowds who weren't yet his followers and who were living under Roman occupation, who were longing for freedom, here was Jesus acting out the prophecy that said, I am the king who's going to bring victory. And so they were not only celebrating, they were excited. We get excited, don't we? We show our excitement. Were you excited to get up this morning and to walk to church or cycle to church or come by car to church? Were you excited about the prospect of worshiping the Lord, of meeting with him in worship? No wonder they were excited. Secondly, this picture of Jesus tells us what sort of king he came as. He came on a colt, the animal not of a warrior, but of a man of peace. Not on a war horse or in a chariot, the animal of a conquering king. He came on a colt. But unfortunately, the crowd were just so intent on welcoming Messiah, they paid little attention to that part of the message of Jesus. They wanted Jesus to be the one who was going to come and overthrow the powers that be, or the powers that were. They wanted Jesus to be the one who would come and overthrow the Roman government. But Jesus' message by riding on a colt was clear to those who wanted to see it. I'm coming, and I come in peace. So Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey wasn't simply a convenient first century taxi. He needed to find a way. He could have just walked in, couldn't he? He could have just walked in. It would have been a lot easier. He wouldn't have had to send the disciples off. He could have just walked in. But this was impact making. He was fulfilling what the prophet Zechariah had said and made an impact by that. Jesus was saying through his actions, he was coming as a king and he was coming in peace. So remember, we were saying that Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey showed by his actions that he was coming as king, coming in peace. But what sort of king is he? Some of us maybe aren't very much into royalty, depending on who we are. I know at least one person at home who's definitely not into royalty very much. But all of us perhaps struggle with the concept of someone being a ruler over us. We live in a culture where one of the favorite phrases is, you're no the boss of me. That means you're not the boss of me, in case you don't understand the Scottish version of that. Some of us don't like that. What sort of king is Jesus? Slightly inconvenient to call him king. Let's look at some of the words that we think of when we say the word king. Well, a king is someone who has a palace and riches. We have a palace in Edinburgh, don't we? The Palace of Holyrood, where Her Majesty resides when she comes to Edinburgh. Most kings have riches. They have lots of money and land, and they wear very expensive clothes. They live in beautiful palaces, and they enjoy the best that money can buy. So was Jesus like that? Was Jesus like that? No, he was not. When Jesus was born, he wasn't laid in a beautiful crib in an expensive palace, and there was no releasing of the baby, photographs of the babies to the press, and we could all fawn over that. There's none of that, basically, because there's none of the technology to do that. But if he was born today, he wouldn't do that either. The Gospel of Luke tells us that this, he was wrapped in clothes and in cloths and placed in a manger. There was no guest room available for them. As an adult, Jesus said to his disciples, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Most of us over the last year, whatever the hardships we've faced of not seeing loved ones, at least we've had a roof over our heads. Some people, we've even tried hard to get many people who are homeless a roof over their head through the pandemic. The government has worked quite hard to do that. All of us have roofs over our head, but Jesus had no home of his own. Jesus gave up his riches to come to earth. He wouldn't have worn a purple robe, but ordinary plain linens. Purple was the color of royalty. He wouldn't have worn that. He would have worn what everybody else wore, ordinary plain linen cloth, the clothing of the ordinary people. So he's not that kind of king. He didn't have palaces. He didn't have money and riches. What about power? Kings through history are powerful people. And of course, they have servants. Everybody in the land is a servant to the king. Most kings have powers over others. They tell people what to do and they do it. They have servants. Was Jesus like that? No, he wasn't. When a couple of his disciples started arguing about who was the most important one between them, this is what Jesus said to them. "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came as a servant. He came to serve. And one of the things he did for his disciples, do you remember? We'll remember it this week on Thursday night. He gave Holy Communion. He fed them. And he even stooped down and washed their feet. What an amazing servant he is. So there was no power. There were no servants. He is the servant. A king has a crown and a throne. Most kings have a crown to wear and they sit on a throne where they rule their kingdoms from. We still see that even in our own nation to this day. Was Jesus like that? Did he have a crown? Did he have a throne to sit on? No, he didn't. Someone was going to be smart there, but we'll come to the smart answer to that in a minute. I could just sense the smartness coming through. Jesus wasn't like that. The only crown that Jesus wore was the crown of thorns, which was placed on his head by the soldiers before he was crucified. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. Jesus didn't rule from a throne, but he was enthroned. Where was his throne? His throne was on the cross. That's why the Palm Cross is quite important to us. It reminds us that was Jesus' throne. Jesus was enthroned on the cross. So Jesus didn't come as an aggressive and dominating king to rule over a country by force. He didn't come to bully people into the ways that he wanted people to live their lives. He came as the king of love. He came to rule over our hearts as we surrender to him. As he loves us, we surrender to him in love. And the crowds in Jerusalem misunderstood what kind of king Jesus was and what he had come to do for them. That's why just a little while later, a few days later, the cry went from "Hosanna" to "Crucify him, kill him." So do we understand, do you understand what kind of king Jesus is and what he has done for us? Jesus didn't just come for Jewish people. He came for everyone. He came for you. He came for me. He came for everyone. Everyone who's watching and listening at home or wherever you are and whenever you are. He came for all of us. When he died on the cross, Jesus made it possible for each one of us to be set free from our chains of sin and death and to know peace with God the Father. What a wonderful king he is. So we must consider this morning, how do we respond to this good news, this wonderful news. We've heard it before. We think we know it. But the purpose of gathering together like this year on year, week on week, is to surrender once again to the King. Not only did the crowds praise Jesus when he entered Jerusalem by waving palms and singing songs of praise to him, they also, do you remember? They laid down their cloaks on the dusty street in front of Jesus' donkey. This was a way of honoring Jesus as King. Get your coat off, put it in front of the King. You lay something down to honor the King. So how do we honor? How are we going to honor Jesus as King today? One of the most important ways we honor Jesus is by listening to what he says and obeying him. I was listening to, do you know Jordan Peterson? This really well-known Canadian, he's a psychologist, one of the most interesting thinkers in the world today. And he seems to be on something of a journey towards Jesus, towards Christ. And he was saying, you know, how powerful it would be if people actually lived in obedience to what Jesus said. What a difference it would make to the world. We don't think he's quite there yet himself, but he recognizes the power that Jesus has to transform lives. And yet many of us who claim to follow him are a bit rubbish at obeying him. How powerful it would be if we actually obeyed him. Kings are to be obeyed. We don't control the king. We don't get him to obey us. We obey him. Watch and listen to this.
Laura.
Hey, Lord.
So how did it go with Kat? Did you talk to her?
Oh, well, Lord, not exactly.
Did you forgive her?
Well, Lord, I mean, I was just thinking, like, why should I forgive her?
Because I asked you to.
Well, yeah, I know you did, Lord, but why?
Well, you shouldn't have to know why, just that I asked you to do it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. I mean, you don't understand the situation. Kathleen has an attitude problem.
Laura, you believe that I know what is best for you and for Kat?
Well, yeah, Lord.
Then you'll do this.
But, Lord.
This is no different than when I've asked you to do anything else.
Yes, this is, Lord. This is way different.
When I asked you to quit your job, you quit.
Well, of course, Lord, but I didn't like my job, so I was happy to leave, you know? I mean, this is way different. Okay, Lord, you know what? I've got an idea. How about we give it a week and I'll pray about it?
I'll give you my answer now.
But, Lord.
Look, Kat's coming by here very soon.
She's coming by here? Yes. Well, let's go.
Now's your chance to talk to her. I want you to forgive
Lord,
her.
Lord, you don't understand.
Hey, Laura, hi. It's been like 2 weeks since we've had coffee.
Oh, it has.
We should totally get together this week.
Oh, wow, I can't do that. I am so busy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about next week?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think it's going to happen for a while.
Oh. Well, is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's great.
Uh-huh. All right. I guess I'll just, see you later then.
Bye. Lord, did you hear that attitude?
I thought you were going to forgive her.
I thought you said we could wait a week, Lord.
No, you said that.
Oh, okay, Lord, you're being unreasonable, okay? Why don't you just go talk to Kathleen and have her come to me and ask for my forgiveness?
Laura, you need to obey. I want you to forgive Kat.
But Lord...
Why do you keep calling me Lord? You won't even do what I ask.
I wonder if you've ever been there and reacted like that. You enter into negotiation with the Lord. I'll do what you say, maybe a bit later, further down the line. It's a very, very common thing for us to do. So I want to encourage you this morning. The Lord wants to encourage all of us not only to praise Jesus as our King. That is fairly easy to do. But will we also obey him? Will we live our lives in obedience to him? So here's some examples. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, are you willing to obey him? Or when he says, do not judge, and you will not be judged, are you willing to obey him? Or When Jesus says, forgive and you will be forgiven, are we willing to obey him? When Jesus says, give and it will be given to you, are you willing to obey him? So let's honor Jesus, our King, by listening to what he says and then obeying him. If Jordan Peterson is right, it is more vital than ever in this generation, here and now, amongst our family and amongst our friends who watch us and see us, that they see that we obey King Jesus, that we listen to him, that we don't put off obedience, but that we live for him now. And so with that in mind, we're going to respond to what God has said to us this morning. The people laid down their cloaks on the road in front of Jesus. So let's lay down our lives before him this morning. And so we're going to respond, and you can respond whatever way you like. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel. You might want to kneel this morning if you're at home watching this and you have the freedom to do this. You might want to kneel before the Lord as we respond. But some words will come up on the screen that are going to help us, and we're going to respond with the words in bold as we say these words. So let's respond now. Let's just be silent for a few moments, and then I'm going to lead us in these words. And if you could say the words that are in bold. Lord, we want to see people through your eyes and see situations as you see them. Lord, we give you our eyes. Lord, we want to hear your voice speaking to us and hear the needs of people around us. Lord, we give you our ears. Lord, we want to speak your words, words that are truthful and kind and which build others up. Lord, we give you our mouths. Lord, we want to use our hands and our feet to serve you, going to the places you call us to and doing the things you want us to do. Lord, we give you our hands and our feet. Lord, we want to love you with our whole hearts and our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, we give you our hearts. Lord, we want to obey you. So we offer you all that we are and all that we have. Not our will, Lord, but your will be done in our lives. We give you our lives. Amen.